Coast Podcast on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
You went to church, you prayed, and guess what came back? Happy Sunday, kiddos. You're listening to the Morning Roast on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And you can tell your smart speaker, ESPN Radio is what you want to hear. I'm Clinton Yates. Mita Kimes is here as well, as is Dominique Foxworth with the SportsCenter update.
The Carolina Panthers terminated their relationship with Charlotte-based CPI Security after the company's CEO, Ken Gill, downplayed police brutality against people of color. Gill later apologized for his comments in a statement. The Panthers, in a statement on Saturday, said CPI Security has been a longtime partner, but upon reflection, we feel that it is right to end our relationship. Scott Dixon won IndyCar's season opener with a dominant run at Texas on Saturday. The win was Scott's 47th career IndyCar win, third most all-time behind AJ Foyt and Mario Andretti. No spectators were allowed, which will also be the case for the next race on the road course at Indianapolis Motor Speedway on July 4th. That's your SportsCenter update. Back to you, Yates.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, known for your guaranteed everyday low prices. And excellent customer service, y'all, from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, yesterday, I was reading the internet, doom scrolling, as some like to put it, checking out what's going on across the media landscape, because a lot of things are happening. And I came across a story that described how this particular network has pivoted in a time in which we have to cover not sports because we're not playing games, but also what's happening across America. It highlighted our friend Michael Eaves, who does a great job on SportsCenter, and so on and so forth. What it did not mention, for reasons that are in the stars, is of course the website that both Dominique and I work for, which is called The Undefeated. Never boring. Always. You know, and I guess for me, I'm sort of thinking, like, if you want to know what's going on ESPN, please widen your scope outside of SportsCenter. Because I'm there. You know who else is there? Mina Kimes is there. You know who else is there? Dominique Foxworth is there. And last time I checked, all y'all and all we talk about is what's going on regarding how sports in America are intersecting themselves right now. Dominique, I would like you to discuss where you've been and what you've said and what it's been like to represent yourself in this time of America on our family of networks.
I've been everywhere, man.
Nice. Nice yeehaw on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is a unique opportunity, obviously, for everybody in the country. So we've certainly been loud and active this week on First Take and Get Up and SportsCenter and everything. And obviously, The Undefeated. So many great writers there. And videos that are posted regularly throughout the year about race, and especially when a time right now when it seems like everyone's talking about race, The Undefeated has become a great spot for some really smart, unique voices to investigate how this stuff is impacting sports and how it's impacting our culture at large. Like I saw people online complaining about the Washington Post article. I didn't read the article myself. I don't really care, to be frank with you. I think that Not that others shouldn't care. Like, it's fine. You should, someone should bring it up. But like, right now my focus is on continuing to use this platform in a way that I feel is positive and effective, and a way that like it feels like all the other work that we do often is so sports centric. It feels, inconsequential. This feels consequential. So I'm enjoying this moment. I'm going to keep doing the things that I need to do in this moment.
Mina, let me ask you from an ally position, and by the by, allies are not self-identified, okay? But let me ask you from an ally position, Mina, what it's been like, quite frankly, you know, as a person of color as well, navigating where we at?
So not to get all quad box, but, you know, I'm just blocking the screens right now. I'm just trying to let my man Foxworth get upfield. Doesn't have to, you know, run deep routes, just putting in the grunt work. Look, I'm glad you mentioned The Undefeated, because I think what's pertinent here is not just that you guys in the site have been doing great work and we've been doing our best to highlight that on The Daily Show as well, but that you do it all year long. And I think that's
Thank you.
Where this conversation is going next. And when I say this conversation, I don't mean between the three of us, but I mean between all athletes and sports media and media in general and fans is how do we keep that's the same energy, right? But how do we continue to be mindful of the ways in which we are talking about sports and the issues that we choose to highlight? And it's not just the Rooney Rule. It's how are we describing athletes? How are we describing them during the draft? Are we holding people accountable who are not cognizant of the way in which race inflects their analysis? This is something that's not going away. It's something that's always been the case. And I think right now, as allies, but also everyone, you know, I don't care, whoever you are, I hope we're all thinking about that as we move forward. Because at a certain point, Quad Box is going to become the front and center topic on ESPN. Right. We're going to start talking about football soon. And I'm excited to, like Dominique and I said. But I think this is so deeply interwoven with the way we talk about sports generally that I think that's something everyone, I hope, will be more mindful of in the future than they have in the past.
Yeah, and I think that we've always been aware of it, and we always try to weave it into our coverage. Some people, and sometimes it's met with backlash, and I hope that going forward, when we weave it into our coverage and continue to do so, people remember the energy that they had at this moment and remember how important it is. And one thing that I've been thinking about all by myself that I thought of alone without the help of anyone else is another responsibility of the media. And this is not an opinion that I stole from anybody. It's an opinion that I created out of whole cloth all by myself. It's that we can choose who we cover and we can choose who we write and talk about. And I really think it's important for us to stop aiming our ire at Roger Goodell because we know he's just a meat shield.
It's been an hour since I said that.
How did you do that, Fox? We had a whole conversation about this. Okay, hold on.
Can I finish my point? Can I finish my point? I think it's important that we go around Roger Goodell and we actually aim our ire at the people who actually have the power. Don't let them use Roger Goodell as a meat shield.
Dominique Foxworth.
Let's go straight to the guys who call themselves owners. Those guys who run the teams, I think that's important. I personally alone came up with this thought and think it's very important that we do that. You're welcome.
I am perfectly content blocking for you, putting my body in harm's way so you can turn those flat routes into touchdowns, but I will not let you take my stats. These snaps are mine and mine alone.
Listening to the Morning Roast on ESPN Radio, Clayton Yates, Mina Kimes, Dominique Foxworth. The breakdown would just happen for you there.
Trying to take your one reception. Give me that.
We're trying to take it behind the curtain. We used to do this thing where we would have the take incubator. Back before we were all big, popular, and famous with multiple podcasts with our name on them, we used to basically be three kids yelling on the radio, trying to figure out whether or not we were going to actually think these things in real time. And you have your baby takes that would grow to be bigger takes. And then we started getting more TV appearances. And now you can't really have baby takes because everybody hears everything, and there's idiots on Twitter that want to make sure that every single word is parsed. But Mina had a pretty good take earlier today. It was baby take, but it made sense. And we had a whole argument in the break about where we're going to see that take next. Foxworth, unbelievably, before we even get out of the show, steals the take.
Steals a take. It's not a take.
And then claims it's also, that was a great bit. We've got a lot going on here.
I mean,
there was discussion about whether or not somebody's going to try to jump on Golic and Wingo to beat somebody else on first take.
Yeah, I was telling
time around the horn happens, it's too late.
Got that East Coast advantage.
I'm on get up first, so I'm going to say it on national TV before you. It's going to be mine. And then Mina said, well, I'm going to get on Golic and Wingo and beat you to it. So that's fine. But, I mean, the culture has been looted from us for years. Can I steal a take? Can I steal a take? I can't steal one take.
No.
I can't steal one take.
No, you do not. No, take reparations are not a thing, Dominique.
I want take reparations.
Blamed it on us. You know? This has been great. Fantastic. No, but overall, though, I just want to point out some of the headlines on the undefeated. Mark J. Spears. Kevin Durant's Black Pride is stronger than ever.
Ooh,
some other headlines. Steven Jackson is emerging as a leader in the George Floyd movement.
Oh, yeah, we use that on Get Up, too.
Foxworth. Goodell's backing peaceful protests shows collective action is power. In direct contradiction to that last thing that you apparently just came up with on your own all by yourself. Weird. Anyway.
It's not at all a direct contradiction. But anyway, proceed.
It is, though.
You didn't
read
it?
Next one. I didn't read it. You're right. Next headline. College athletes are showing they have the power. Subhead, in the midst of civil unrest, a younger generation is finding its voice. The only reason I bring all that up is because to point out this. If you don't look at what everything is that's being done, and then you turn around and say, and I'm not just talking about that particular story, but then you turn around and say, well, where are the voices? and you spend more time focused on your inability to understand what's actually happening there, well, that's what erasure is. And if you just close your mouth and open your ears and listen to the people who actually have something to say, who are the affected communities, you're going to learn something. That doesn't have anything to do with media. That doesn't have anything to do with sports. That has to do with life. And I just want to implore people out there, when you ask, what can you do? When you text me and I haven't seen you since college, or that one random job we worked when we were both 22, and you say, hey, man, been thinking about you. Hope all's well. I don't mind that. I like that. But when you're asking, what can you do? Step one, shut up. Step two, listen. Step three, apply what you heard without pointing out whether or not you agree with it. Because that defeats the purpose of listening to begin with. This has been my TED Talk. I'm done, Foxworth.
I have another detour that I want to go on.
Okay. Fine.
We can turn this podcast into a drinking game. Okay. I would like every time Clinton says something that is like super arrogant about us or this show, you got to take a shot. And I don't know if anyone can make it through the show. Like,
no.
From all the times that he said, yeah, you're welcome, okay, and that you went to church and prayed for it, and that we are all super big celebrities.
Yeah. Also, let's be clear. We just did an entire segment about how great our coverage has been. I just want to be clear about what just happened on national radio.
One of my bits that I do on TV all the time is like,
oh, where? You do where? I'm sorry, what? Because you're a big
on TV all the time. I wasn't bothered by it.
What I'm
annoyed by is that you've taken away one of my chief bits. Like, I go to arrogant cornerback all the time because it's funny. And I talk about how handsome I am.
Yeah.
And I talk about how great I am at everything. And I can't do it here. Because
wow. Clinton's boxes
take my corner.
It really sucks when someone takes one of your bits, huh? It's really not great. Not a great feeling.
I love it. By the way, speaking of corners.
Short answer, long answer.
Uniquely, dude, short answer, long answer is the best moment in the history of sports radio. I will defend that until the day.
Can we play it?
I know, right? We got to find that. Anyway, coming up, we're going to talk about the National Basketball Association. It's the Morning Roast on ESPN Radio.
The Morning Roast. The Morning Roast.
In African-American vernacular English, folks are people you know. People are people you don't know. Dominique knows what I'm talking about. You're listening to The Morning Roast on ESPN Radio on the ESPN app, or you can ask your smart speaker to say play ESPN Radio. By the way, we're brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Barbasol Shaving Cream comes out thick and rich, just like Dominique, and doesn't break down. That's why Barbasol is America's number one shaving cream. Better by Barbasol. Of course, the show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests are on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, so the league we haven't talked about much today is the National Basketball Association, because it's been football, 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 quad box, quad box, quad box, and then we got a little baseball talk. But the NBA is actually most urgently likely to come back and actually play some ball. And we've got all these plans on what's going to happen in Disney World and so on and so forth. I know that a lot of people, since we're all self-referential today, there's been a lot of talk among the media world about who's going to have to go and what the experience is going to be like overall. But, I mean, I want to ask you from a watchability standpoint, because you said you'd watch silent football all day long and all night long. How do you feel about that regarding the NBA?
I mean, of course, I'm going to watch every second of it. And anyone, at least in our cohort, who says they're lying. But, and we'll talk about our guests, Malik Andrews, about this in a second. I don't understand why they had to bring back 22 teams. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why. I understand the desire for a play-in, although, you know, I think 16 teams probably would have been fine. But I don't know why you had to go 22 instead of 20. And I'm really not trying to get digs in on the Wizards. I'm not even sure the Wizards won. I mean, their chances of getting back in are...
Get me started about how Bradley Beal has been talking about wanting to make the playoffs, and they need to get rid of him and get the assets so that they can have draft picks down the line and build from the bottom up, because that roster is terrible. But anyway.
I'm sure the Suns don't want to play. I mean, maybe they do, but like, I don't know. It just feels very unnecessary at a time when, you know, public health should be issue 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. It feels like it's been pushed to the back here. So, Dominique, I'm not with the 22 thing.
Yeah, I can understand that. But, I mean, I assume the answer is money. That's what it normally comes down to, and it's probably about the local TV rights is getting over as many teams as they can over the 70-game threshold, I believe it is, for the local TV deals to be guaranteed for that money. I assume that's what it's about. And I think it's also probably about competitive, because I remember being one of the few people who was defending Damian Lillard when he was saying that he wouldn't even play if he went up there and his team didn't have a chance, because like they've been committed and lots of teams have committed to making the playoffs and having a good season, and they've been doing all this before the virus hit, and they don't want to be shortchanged. So while you're right, there are probably some guys who are in some teams are like, man, why do I have to go out here and expose myself to all of this when we all know that we have no chance of making it to the finals? But some people, like, or some teams, I think, could feel the other way, where it's like, why did I do all of that? And you're not in. And it was undecided. Like, there were enough games for us to get into the playoffs, and they're just going to take that from us.
Oh, I get what Lillard was saying, 100%. Right. But, like, our Kevin Pelton ran a simulation, and I think there's, like, a 0.0005% chance the Wizards make it in. I know the way athletes are built differently. Like, you're always thinking there's a chance, and you're the best, and you can compete. But at a certain point, given what's actually happening in this country right now, that 0.0005% chance doesn't feel worth it.
You're listening to The Morning Roast on ESPN Radio. Clinton Yates, Mina Kimes, Dominique Foxworth. Let's hear what Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, said on Saturday from SportsCenter about this conundrum.
One of the things that is going to have to be reminded to all the teams and all the organizations and even the players, and I understand this, but the reason that they're not having the 30 teams in Orlando is for safety reasons. They're doing that to try to cut down on the people who are exposed and getting groups of large people together. That makes any conversation about then getting other teams together in another area quite complicated, not to mention that you have to negotiate that with the players' union, which, by the way, is already having to negotiate a dozen or more other issues to get this Orlando thing going. But, David, they're also worried about their upcoming draft picks. Remember, those guys won't have played since March either, and that's another topic to discuss.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I don't want to call it scuttlebutt, just logistics that they have to work out. But I know from my standpoint, you talked about how you're going to watch every single game. Sure, in our job we do that. But I don't know that what I will call a casual basketball fan, who is not specifically an NBA fan, is going to want to tune into this unless there's some sort of added value. And I say that because I'm going to need some entertainment beyond just the basketball if you're all shacked up in Disney. I need those reality shows of what they're doing when they're not there. And I'm actually being serious about this.
No,
I need more coverage behind the scenes, because it'll be as interesting how they do it as it is what they do. I mentioned that football is the most affected from a product standpoint, but I think basketball is probably the least affected in terms of how the sport translates from the biggest to the smallest scale.
From your reality show idea, like, I think basketball is the most tailor-made for this possible situation.
For sure.
To have all, like, these smaller teams all in one spot, and we could get some, I'm sure there'll be cameras, I'm sure there'll be content that comes out related to that. But to your point about watching all the games, I'm not going to watch all the games, especially with 22 teams and teams that I don't want to necessarily see. And I know we're all, like, fiending right now for sports, so we all think we're going to watch all the games, but they're all going to happen at the same time. So we're going to get plenty of good basketball day after day after day. We're not going to have to watch any bad basketball, but I do think that maybe some teams will use that as some development time, and maybe that'll help them in getting to the threshold for the local TV money. But I'm not really looking forward to all these games either. I'm just looking forward to the big games with the big names that I know.
Really?
Mina, I think that
it,
you
see,
just
to me, it feels like March Madness. We're like, yeah, I've waited my entire life to watch Seton Hall and, you know, Appalachian State or whatever. I mean, and again, these are NBA teams. People are actually widely familiar with them and care about them. I don't know. Perhaps you're right, and there'll be some momentum lost after that first.
I mean, March Madness, you don't watch all the games. You just
play the games.
Yeah, you watch a couple games, and then you watch the endings of the rest of the games, which is what we're going to do coming up here when NBA comes back.
Mike, you make a good point here. The red panda market has been broken into strongly. We've not seen enough red panda as a result of these games. That's an excellent point. You know, the blow-up mascots have also had their, you know, agency kind of deleted. We haven't seen a lot of mascot work recently. That's, you know, that's a problem. I need that in my NBA package.
I just also, like, from a basketball standpoint, there's so much uncertainty. Like, nobody has any idea what this break will mean for the teams themselves.
Right.
Will the Lakers benefit from their experience, or will the age hurt them relative to the Bucks? You know, no one knows. Nobody knows how players' bodies are going to be affected by this. So I think just those first eight games, at least, Dominique, are going to be riveting from that point of view because we just have so much uncertainty.
Maybe.
Dominique, when she says your name, you talk. Huh? Okay, Utah. Or not. Coming up.
Oh, you said Utah. Gonna... I thought you said Utah. Why are we going to Utah? What's in Utah?
There is an NWSL tournament, speaking of side sports, happening in Utah in 3 weeks. By the by, mm-hmm. That's what I bring to the table. Coming up, what have the association players been doing all this time? We'll find out with our guest. It's the Morning Rose on ESPN Radio. We know how to talk into microphones. Sometimes we just get our signals crossed. It's okay, kiddos. We're still here.
That was an okay segment.
Earlier today on the Morning Roast.
Y'all quad box it up. You got football shows. You talk about your little football on your little football podcast. And you wear your little football clothes. And you hang out with your little football friends. But guess what? We ain't got no football right now. But we kind of got it coming. Which means we got to pontificate on what the league is actually going to look like.
I love your position on football generally. It just makes me happy. It just brings joy to my heart. It makes me happy. One buck.
Now back to the Morning Roast with Mina Kimes, Dominique Foxworth, and Clinton Yates.
DC United, do better by Lindsey Simpson. You're listening to the Morning Roast on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and by asking your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. The show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and of course, all guests appear on the show via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. But first, newsman Dominique Foxworth.
Moments after the conclusion of Saturday's UFC 250 event, Conor McGregor announced his retirement. The 31-year-old tweeted, "It's been quite a ride," and explained his decision to Ariel Helwani later Sunday morning. It's not the first time McGregor has announced his retirement via Twitter. He first walked away in March 2016, but returned in August to defeat Nate Diaz. We don't believe you. Iowa placed longtime strength coach Chris Doyle on leave for racial insensitivity. The decision came after several former Hawkeyes spoke out about negative experiences they and other black players had while under Doyle's supervision. Iowa coach Kurt Ferentz posted a video to social media explaining the decision, saying it was a defining moment for the program. You're welcome.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Joining us right now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line is Malika Andrews, ESPN NBA analyst. Now, Malika, we've been talking about how the league is going to get things done once they actually get back to play. But in the offseason, we've seen a lot of interesting things come up. Players, they're playing video games. Some guys have come out and said, "I don't even have access to a basketball court." What are some of the things you've heard in terms of talking to players about what they're actually doing in this time? They've had...
Well, I mean, we're talking about a wide range of things, right? You know, of course, there have been the players that have kept in diligent contact with coaches, the players that have been hitting the gym in their own homes, in their apartment building. Sometimes they're, you know, going outside doing the old, like, tire flip types of workouts to try to get that stuff in. But then, like you said, we have guys playing video games. We have guys making silly TikTok videos. We have someone like George Hill who retreated to his ranch in Texas and is caring for his zebras and wildebeests. And then in the past week, you have all of these players who maybe wouldn't have had the same space to lend themselves to their voices to the kind of racial injustice movements that are going on across the country. You're seeing guys from Giannis Antetokounmpo all the way down to the last guy on some rosters out protesting and making PSAs and signs. So there's a really wide range of things guys have been spending their off time doing.
Zebras and wildebeests? I didn't hear anything. I forgot everything before that, and I didn't hear anything after that because, I don't know, I've been too busy yelling at white people all week that I missed that story. He had zebras and wildebeests? Goodness gracious.
I need much more on that.
Wait. You don't have zebras and wildebeest. It's not something that you have. George Hill owns a ranch, an 800-acre ranch down in Texas in what's called Hill Country, which has no relation to his last name being Hill. And he decided that on that ranch, what he wants to stock it with, if you will, is not cattle or horses, but kangaroos and wildebeest and a bunch of different
Malika,
types of
Malika,
deer.
Malika, Malika. You just gonna sneak. You gonna try to sneak kangaroos past me now? You just gonna right,
got,
try to?
Yeah, we got more species.
Okay. All right. I already asked you this, but the obvious question I felt was, does he have bucks? Right.
And then we had to discuss what exactly is a buck, because right. I think it's just a male deer. In which case, yes, he has that, boom. But he didn't list that in his. The species that he owns. So we're going to need to do some investigating into this one, Nina.
Well, Malika, speaking of the Bucks, you used to cover that team. You know them very well. And something we've been talking about is the total lack of clarity about which teams actually benefit or are hurt from the standstill, right? You look at teams like right. the Lakers and the Bucks, the stencil number one seeds, and it's hard to say who is better off, the experienced team, the younger team, the healthier team. So when you look at those two teams, what do you see? Who do you think will be hurt the most by this time off?
Out of the Lakers and the Bucks? Oh, man. I mean, the Lakers were just catching fire and really had seemed to iron out their issues and were really getting in a flow in the swing of things. They just had, a couple of good games. They'd had a really good win over the Clippers right before the hiatus. They lost to the Nets in their last game before the break. So, I mean, it sort of seems like their momentum had just been picking up. Whereas the Bucks, I mean, if you remember, Mina, Giannis had just gotten hurt right before the break happened. He tweaked his knee. It had missed a handful of games. And so this period of time allowed for him to fully recover, to get his legs back underneath him after that. Because, I mean, Giannis takes a beating throughout the season. And so in a different way, honestly, than LeBron and Anthony Davis and some of the stars on the Lakers did. So I think in terms of rest, I mean, you never want to see the season go on hold for 3 months. But, you know, I think that the Bucks could be coming back extremely fresh, and that could be dangerous for a lot of teams, including the Lakers.
You're listening to The Morning Roast on ESPN Radio. Clinton Yates, Mina Kimes, Dominique Foxworth. Joining us right now on the Shell Penzoa Performance Line is Malika Andrews, ESPN NBA analyst. One of the stories we were talking about on the shows last week, though, was a bit of a side one, which is about these age restrictions as a result of the health situation regarding some of these guys being able to even join their teams because they're maybe too old. And that doesn't just affect head coaches, but it affects assistant right. coaches and staffs as well. Can you tell me a little bit about what that's been like? Because I think people see that and they always think about the guy at the top, but there's a lot of people around right. NBA squads that are older than that age. What's that impact been like from what you've seen?
Well, from the coaches that I've been talking to, look, I've had conversations with Alvin Gentry, who is one of those coaches in that the age range that they're concerned about. And a lot of these coaches, what their stance is, look, yeah, maybe I am 60, 62, 65, but there is a very good chance that in some cases I'm healthier than some of the younger coaches who, have had some other health concerns, whether it's weight related, whether it is an underlying condition. And so there was a lot of talk about whether or not just the age requirement is the most fair way to assess whether or not someone should be in the bubble, because there are so many factors that apply to someone's health that isn't just about age. And so those coaches were understandably a little bit perturbed when Adam came out and said that's one of the things they're looking at. And to the point that we already have seen Adam come back and say, hey, wait, maybe that was a little bit hasty. We're going to be reassessing this and evaluating this, because people want to be in that bubble, you guys. Like, there is a strong want. I mean, not just amongst players, but amongst teams, amongst the coaching staff. They know that there's probably going to be a limited number of people allowed in the bubble, which means that teams have to make strict decisions based off of who absolutely needs to be there. And coaches don't just want age to be the thing that makes it so that they can't help their team get over the hump.
There's so many moving parts and interesting kind of sub-stories that are going to influence the end of this very unique season. But I really want to know, what does George Hill plan to do with these zebras?
Keep them. I mean, he just bought himself – I mean, you don't get yourself an extra zebra for your birthday, because that's what he just did. He had a birthday in May, and he decided, I'm going to add a sixth zebra to my herd.
That's dope. I'm jealous.
If you called him up, he's inviting you to come check it out. I mean, this is something he wants his teammates to come visit. He wants reporters to come see it. Like, he is proud of the collection of animals he's putting together down there. you know, a kangaroo named Hoppy. You got to go visit it. The one of their zebras is named after Hoppy.
I mean, his son gems named all it. Over the place.
Yeah, one of his zebras is named Suki after the Bucks strength and conditioning coach. So, I mean, you could probably go down there and get a zebra named after you. This is not an opportunity you want to miss.
Wow. Well, we're closing on that. We have no further questions. Malika Andrews, ESPN NBA analyst. That was tremendous. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
So, as the only person I believe here who has seen a live wildebeest, I will tell you, their movability in the open field is massively underrated. People always look to the big five in terms of what, strength, in terms of conditioning and all
big
that.
Five.
Wildebeest actually can get it moving a little bit on the plains. You know what
are
I'm
the
saying?
Big five?
Rhinos, lions, giraffes, hippos, and elephants. So when you go on safari, that's what you see.
Obviously,
I mean, it's known
Nina.
As the Big Five. Yeah. So come what I'm on, saying man. Is that when you look outside of the Big Five, because you see a lot more than the Big Five, that's kind of why there's in that sort of taxonomy. But wildebeest can move, dog. And there's a lot of wildebeest out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're a pretty cool animal. Just in
oh, do we have time for me to tell a quick story? Because
yep.
I saved an article while we're on the topic of animals that I wanted to share with Dominique. I saved it like 2 days ago, and I just remembered headline: giant undersea bug in Toba Aquarium, that's in Japan, poops for the first time in 2 years. And
whoa!
The Japanese people are thrilled. Yeah, it's a giant isopod, which looks like a massive roly-poly, only it's underwater.
Yeah.
And people there have been super worried because it hasn't pooped in 2 years, right? They've just been waiting, and so they're celebrating in Japan that it's finally happened. And honestly, what better metaphor for the show, I thought.
Coming up!
Dropping
what hot. Have we learned today? We learned a lot just now. It's the Morning Roast on ESPN Radio.
Earlier today on the Morning Roast.
Roger Goodell has not been the person stopping all of that. It's been his owners, but as you mentioned, the owners are his bosses, right? And his role has primarily been to be the human shield for them.
One thing that I've been thinking about all by myself that I thought of alone without the help of anyone else is another responsibility of the media. And this is not an opinion that I stole from anybody's opinion that I created out of whole cloth all by myself. It's that I think it's important that we go around Roger Goodell and we actually aim our ire at the people who actually have the power. Don't let them use Roger Goodell as a meat shield.
Dominique Foxworth.
Let's go straight to the guys who call themselves owners. I personally alone came up with this thought and think it's very important that we do that.
It's been an hour since I said that.
How did you do that, Fox?
Now back to the Morning Roast with Mina Kimes, Dominique Foxworth, and Clinton Yates.
All right, welcome back to the program, y'all. It's the Morning Roast on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And, of course, you can ask your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio, and then you can hear the voices of me, Clinton Yates, and, of course, Mina Kimes and Dominique Foxworth. It's time for the homework, y'all. All right, so here's the deal. We had a conference call before the show, which is what I was trying to say, in which I asked Fox about his kids. And he said they missed the last day of school as much as they missed anything in terms of, you know, their emotions and how they feel about it, and they missed field day. Now, for those of you who don't know what field day is for whatever reason, basically your school gets together and you break yourselves down into teams and you play a bunch of different things and you compete and everybody has it and say, we won field day that year. I went to a school where you would rotate in and out which teams you were on. Some people went to schools and there were like two and you were that for life, or there were four and you were that for life. But here's the story that I have from my field day senior year in high school. I played three sports in high school. I was fast. I beat a kid who was a senior on the soccer team in my freshman year, and it was a big deal at the time. So they named the field day event after me. That was the running event in sports day.
Have a drink, guys.
It was, of course, the first event of the day, and because I was a senior with no interest in going to school, I did not participate in the event named after me during field day of my senior year, and that was my field day experience. That's all I got to say about that. But it's cool to think that kids still kind of miss things like the last day of school, because those are really fun days when you're in school, because you don't come back, but at the same time, you're happy you were there.
Dominic, you'd be the only person who knows this, because you're the only person with kids here. Do kids still clean their desks with shaving cream on the last day of school?
No. No, they don't.
That scent is so evocative. When I smell shaving cream, all I remember is the last day of school, you know?
Wow.
Everything about it.
My kids are still young. We got 9, 7, and 4, and the 7-year-old and the 9-year-old were really sad that they didn't get to do the last day of school at school. They didn't mind missing the rest of the day of school, but they were pretty upset about field day also. And I do remember having a lot of fun at field day, but we didn't do field day in high school. My field day experience stopped at the fifth grade. We went first through fifth, and that was the last field day I had.
High school field day.
Yeah, field day was a big day to show out for those guys that couldn't get it together to actually make practice every week or make a team so that they'd be all of a sudden in field day. They were ready to rock when it came to these stupid events. You know what I'm saying? So
I wish we would have an ESPN field day because, yes, of course, all the former athletes would destroy everyone. But common misperception at this network is that I am not athletic. And it's not... It's not true. In fact, I'm honestly one of the few people who runs regularly, okay? I'm not strong. I know that. But I can run.
Well, running's not really athletic, necessarily.
Yeah, but it's a big part of field day.
That's fair. We used to have this game that was called Squirrel Tag that I loved at field day. It was kind of like Capture the Flag, but you just have a whole football field. You cut it in half. One team on one side, one team on the other side. You put, like, five balls in the end zone. And those were like the nuts, and you were the squirrels, and you had flags on. You had to run across and try to bring them back and try to get, when time ran out, whoever had the most nuts on the side. I used to love that game.
That's a summer camp classic.
Oh, yeah.
I love that game.
Okay, I want, I'm
summer camp's canceled this year, too, guys, by the way.
Oh, wow. That stinks for you as a parent.
Mina. No, boy, you know it.
Yeah. I just want a moment of truth. Would you pick me for your team? If we did an ESPN adult field day, do you believe me when I say I'm fast?
I mean,
be honest, it's all right. It's a safe space.
I obviously wouldn't pick you ahead of some Desmond Howard. I'm gonna go with Super Bowl MVP.
Amongst the journalism, speak, crowd.
Yeah, like the ladies.
Yeah, I would absolutely pick you amongst. Yeah, you're number one.
Well, the reason why Mina would go high is because for me, knowing how to, it's like specific skills are more of a big deal than like general athleticism. And you know how to kick a soccer ball. You played soccer in high school, and that's a skill that people don't just pick up.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? As a weekend warrior, later. So that's
a
skill that needs to happen.
I would pick Mina because Mina has that Michael Jordan gene, and she does a good job of covering it, but Mina is a maniac. Mina can tell a story of what she did to her valedictorian competition in high school. I could read my text messages that I get from Mina. She talks about other people. Mina is a maniac. And you think Mina's risen to the top of this country, this company, because she is super smart and good at her work? No, it's because she is ferocious and she will kill you.
If we learned anything about The Last Dance, is that the Scott Burrells of this world do not win championship. They don't get 10-part docuseries.
Other things we learned today, Mina and Dominique are snobs and have never worked in kitchens in their life because they think there's some grand quality upgrade between what you have on a stand and what you have on a stadium. The only upgrade is the size. It's not the quality. It's all the same daggone flat top, Playboy.
I worked in a food court mall Chinese restaurant.
You didn't make the food.
Panda Express?
No chance you made the food.
It was called Dragon House Express.
You were front of the
Express.
House.
We know. Dragon House Express.
We know. You were out there with your pretty face. You were back there in the trenches.
Did you give out samples?
Oh, yeah. I used to give out so many samples.
Like teriyaki chicken samples or Chinese. Chicken samples. Yeah.
Yeah. I give out all the samples.
Ooh,
and I would barter with other mall employees. Let me get them video game discounts. Right. Maybe I'll give you an extra scoop.
Here's what I learned today. Take reparations. Not a thing. Not a thing. My takes are my takes.
Nah.
I will block for you. I will put my body in harm's way. I don't need targets on every snap, Dominique.
Take reparations also up there with Dominique's racial re-education camp, Mina. Please inform the people as to what that
Another great take by me. Thank you. I'm just saying, Dominique's had to do a lot of free labor over the last couple of weeks and paid labor. Paid to go on our network and talk about these things.
Yeah.
But I'm saying for all, the people coming to you and asking you for advice right now, you just, do a group Zoom. Do a group Zoom. You don't have to go one-on-one. Take a page from Scott or Norvell, the FSU coach, Mike Norvell. Just do a Zoom. Everybody mute. You don't
I
have to show
something
your face.
Today. I taught Mina that the Big Five is an actual thing in safari culture.
I wasn't
just saying that because I was trying to make some corollary to the Power Five in college football. But
I believe it.
Yeah, there's a Big Five. If you go there, that's what you see on the t-shirts, and they're the hardest ones to see. That's the whole thing.
I learned
Wildebeest underrated on the safari positional power rankings, just so you know. Wildebeest don't go high in the draft, but very useful to making, like the Saints, an extremely good depth chart when it comes to football.
I learned that Mina Kimes' Cookie Monster impersonation is just as awful as I remember it. But it makes for a good time.
Do your own impersonation.
I also learned
the man in the arena.
The man in the arena.
It's easily criticized.
We also learned that our supporters and our roasters are great people. Shout outs. We got some shout outs we want to give.
Yeah,
who do we want to shout out?
Always Alejandro.
Alejandro. Alejandro's always great.
What about Devontae's daddy?
My brother is listening a lot.
Angelo?
Yeah, Angelo, Devontae's daddy.
Joe Dorville,
Angelo,
longtime roaster.
Love him. The Big Joker, he's a longtime roaster. My brother Jordan is listening. He laughed a lot at the line about being thick and rich like Dominic Foxworth.
Yeah.
Impressed with that. So.
Yeah, I'm still recovering from that, to be honest.
So, I mean,
I'm still recovering from that.
It's just a
I learned Foxworth. I learned about jumpers. I didn't know what a jumper was.
Listen, for all of those of you who are in radio school and you have to find ways to get little parts of the world in, you know, if the pre-show announcement take is a thing, if you just call it something, you know, it's a thing. I don't know when it started. I can't really remember, but I know I just decided that it was. You know when it started is when y'all two started getting a little too big for your britches with these football podcasts, and I had to start wedging in my takes because all we were spending our time doing was listening to you two going on about some secondary that I don't even care about. You know what I'm saying? That's when it happened.
I was born too big for my britches.
The Saints secondary is amazing.
Oh,
I mean, if we
want
to talk about it, I know we don't have a lot of time.
All over the field.
Since you brought it up.
It's amazing. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody who joined us today. Joel Anderson of Slate, Spencer Hall, and of course, Malika Andrews of ESPN. I want to thank Mike Urinaga as well. Dominique, shut up. We're trying to thank Mike. Well, I want to thank Mike Urinaga as well for putting these things together and all the listeners and everybody who tuned in. It's a lot of fun. Coming up, game night with Kevin Connors and Taylor Twellman. It's on ESPN Radio. It's the Morning Roast, kiddos. The happy Sundays. Well, you might not have any more. You're welcome.